You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Despite Iran's importance on the world stage, most Americans are generally unfamiliar with the rich artistic culture of the country, and most especially its strong poetic tradition. North Atlantic Books has just released Belonging, New Poetry by Iranians from Around the World, a collection of poetry never before published in English, and I'm pleased to welcome Niloufar Talebi, its editor and translator, to our show today. Hi.
Hello there. Thank you for having me.
Now, why did you choose to call the anthology Belonging?
Well, it's a word that's composed of longing and belonging, and after 6 years of research into the poetry that was created outside of Iran since the 1979 revolution, as I was putting the anthology together, I realized that these poems lie in the emotional points between longing for their past in Iran and belonging to their present lives.
Well, this is something that you can't experience, right? You were born in London.
But I have lived in Iran. I lived in Iran for about 12 years as a child, both before and after the revolution.
Let's talk about poetry and the Middle East. As I understand it, there's a poetry competition TV show produced in Abu Dhabi called Prince of Poets, which has been compared to American Idol. I can't imagine anything like that in this country. But is there something like that in Iran?
Well, there are. I'm actually currently writing an essay about poetry in other countries. In Iran, as well as in many other countries, poetry has a place in everybody's daily lives in a way that's not explainable here. I think in this country, the closest people get to having poetry in the lives of people is through hip-hop theater and poetry slams and poetry out loud in the schools.
So why do you think poetry plays such an important role in people's lives?
Well, I think each culture has its own strength, and Persian carpets and Persian poetry are the strengths of the Iranian culture.
Going back even before the Sufi poets, before Rumi?
I think the strength is really recorded, as far as I know, since the 7th century. So the 7th century was when the Arab invasion happened, and the richness was really strengthened at that time. And in the 10th century, a poet by the name of Ferdowsi wrote a book called the Shahnameh in 50,000 couplets, sort of recording the histories and the myths of the Persian people since the time of creation till the 7th century in this book.
Was poetry an important part of your cultural upbringing?
Absolutely it was. As I mentioned in the introduction, I had the great pleasure and honor in my life to have been privy to 4 years of having Mr. Ahmad Shamlu, who is one of the greatest thinkers and poets of the 20th century in Iran, at our house in the years between 1980 and 1984 when I lived in Iran. My parents had a social relationship with Mr. Shamlu, and I was privy to his visits to our home, and it's really shaped my life.
Well, in that introduction, you talk about the 79ers. Who and what are the 79ers?
A friend of mine, actually, Borzo Deragai, who works for the LA Times now, I remember he called me a 79er years ago, mocking me, because he had moved here before the 1979 revolution. And it always stayed with me that we were 79ers. So I just mentioned that 79ers are people who moved around and because of the 1979 revolution outside of Iran to other countries.
People who felt that they were forced out for one reason or another, either because they were too close to the old regime, or because they didn't like the way the new regime was going?
That's right.
So what about your family?
My family, we left voluntarily, so we're really expatriates or immigrants. And this book, Belonging, has a combination of refugees and expatriates and immigrants.
Why did you choose to include only poetry written outside of Iran?
Well, I'm interested in the poetry created inside and outside Iran throughout the 20th and 21st century. And this is just a portion of my research.
Is there good work coming out of Iran despite the censorship?
Yes, absolutely. And though my book has not set out to do a comparative study of this, I know I've started to read the poetry and the novels and short stories that come out of Iran, and they're really amazing.
So a person who writes poetry would not be considered a danger to the government?
Well, it depends on how they deal with it. Some people don't publish at all. Some people go under the radar. And some people, their work has turned into towards such personal subject matters, like Iranian cinema has, that they're not necessarily a threat to the government. So they're not necessarily censored in the same way.
Although you write in your introduction that many Iranian writers battle self-censorship.
Outside of Iran, yes, that's what they tell me.
And why are they doing that? Because they're afraid that it'll cut them off from their emotional source?
Well, I think it's a culture that's been used to living under some sort of dictatorship for as long as we've been alive. And Iranian culture is very much about keeping up appearances and not really airing our dirty laundry. So I think self-censorship really comes from those two factors.
You've divided the poets featured in the book into three generations. Is this true of all three generations?
That's a very good question. Perhaps not so much with the older generation. And I may be wrong in saying it this way because I haven't really thought about this and I would need more time to think about it. But by and large, in general, everybody has told me that they do battle some sort of self-censorship.
Did you find that where the poets emigrated to after the revolution affected the way that they wrote? Some are living in Europe, some live in the United States, Canada, one is in Australia. Is that one an Australian Iranian poet as opposed to a Canadian Iranian poet?
Not that I can think of, but I know that the time in which they immigrated, the time in which they lived in Iran after the revolution, and their moment of immigration sort of has made a difference in the trajectory of their work. Because when somebody immigrates the first few years after their immigration, their work really concentrates on the nostalgia of what has been lost. And then after that, it goes into the recreation of the self. So it really depends on when they have moved.
My guest is Niloufar Taleby, who has translated the poems in a book that she's also edited. It's called Belonging, New Poetry by Iranians Around the World, published by North Atlantic Books. And I wonder about these poets. Are they well known within the Iranian, would we call it diaspora at this point, or at least the...
Yes.
Even though it's such a recent diaspora?
Yes, it's 30 years. I did not know this at the beginning, but when I was about 3 or 4 years into my research, I realized that the people that I was translating and introducing were not always known to the Iranian diaspora because people have been busy making a living here and have not, and this really is a scattered community, and they have not always kept up with the newer and emerging voices. So many of them are actually new to the Iranian diaspora as well, which I'm very happy about introducing the poets to.
And do all of the poets in the volume write exclusively in Farsi?
Mostly. Mr. Khoi also writes in English, and Mr. Nafisi also writes in English.
And would any of them be known to Western readers of poetry?
Perhaps Mr. Khoi will be known, and Mr. Nadirpour, and these are all poets of the oldest generation who've been around for a long time.
Much has been made in the West of the Iranian laws and traditions that we see as oppressive to women. How many female poets are included in this collection?
I don't have an exact count, but last time I checked, I think it was about 40% of the book is women poets.
One of them, Reza Farmand, has written a mother poem called My Mother Did Not Become Beautiful that you identify as being different from the tradition of Persian mother poems. I didn't know there was a tradition of Persian mother poems.
Reza Farmand is a male. And yes.
Oh, right. I should have known, right?
Yes,
because
yes.
The former Shah was named Reza.
That's right. And this is an amazing poem, and I've excerpted this for the anthology. I just remember standing up on our benches in elementary school and reciting mother adoration poems. And some poets in the earlier part of the 20th century also dedicated themselves to writing mother praising poems. The mother has a very, very grand place in the Iranian culture.
And many of the poems are about longing for the homeland. Mina Asadi's yearning for Sari, for example.
Yes,
Sari, S-A-A-R-I. She's not yearning for a dress. This is a woman?
Yes, Mina Asadi is a woman, and she's of the older generation. And Sari is, I think, her birthplace in the northern part of Iran.
What about your process as a translator? You're not a poet. Most translators of poetry are poets, aren't they?
I think so. But I have encountered translators of poetry who are not poets. I do, in fact, write, and I've had to put my own book on hold for working on this book. So the next book authored by me will be a work, my own work.
You've also been a performance artist.
I have been a performance artist, and I've studied method acting and elocution, Shakespearean elocution, and I was lucky enough to be able to theatricalize the poetry in Belonging, inspired by the Iranian storytelling traditions of Naqqali and Pardedari.
Many poets, are very good at reading their own poetry. Some read in a drone, at least in the American tradition, but often in throughout the world cultures, poetry is read in a way that is almost theater.
Dramatized, absolutely.
So are there any particular difficulties in translating Farsi into English?
I think no more than the difficulties of translation in general. I think the Persian language is considered more poetic in general, but I...
You mean a normal conversation might sound poetic to an outsider?
Well, depends on who's speaking, not always. I think metaphors and expressions are the most difficult thing to translate, and I've tried to do my best.
You've presented the poems in Farsi on one page and the English translation on the other page. Since I don't read Farsi, did you do that just to make me get a sense of what it might look like?
That, as well as the fact that, as we mentioned before, many of these poets are actually not known to the Iranian diaspora, so I wanted their work to have a chance to be read in the original as well.
Did you talk to any of them about, consult with them about what they might want the poem to sound like?
With the poets?
Mm-hmm.
I spoke with the poets on a weekly or monthly basis for years and years. All of the poets, all of the 18 poets, except for one, Mr. Nadarpour, are alive, and I actually was in very close touch with all of them, going through their poetry. Most of them don't speak English as their strong second language because they do live in all countries of the world, and so they did trust me with the translations.
What is the translation project?
It is a nonprofit organization that I founded in 2003. It has the potential of being Iran's first Goethe Institute or Alliance Française. Oddly enough, Iran has never had a global institution like that to promote its literature and culture with offices all around the world. And our sole dedication is to promoting contemporary Iranian literature through innovative projects like the book that you have in front of you, like multimedia theatrical projects based on Naqali, and events, festivals that we throw in San Francisco and other cities.
This is the 30th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution that overthrew the Shah. I know that you're not involved with politics, and I probably shouldn't be asking you this question, but just from your contacts with people in Iran, do you see this upcoming election as perhaps having any real impact, changing the course of the revolution?
Well, I am absolutely not a specialist in politics, but I do think that this is a very exciting time with the recent election here in the United States. There's a general sense of hope all around the world and change all around the world, so it'll be very interesting to see what happens in Iran.
Do any of the Iranian poets become political in their poetry?
Yes, they do, absolutely. And I've tried my best to include poetry that was primarily poetry and not necessarily political poetry. We have humorous poems, funny lyrical poems, love poems, erotic poems, all kinds of poetry in this book.
I want to thank you so much for being with us. Niloufar Talebi, her collection that she edited and translated is called Belonging, and the title has the B in a different color from the longing to give us an idea of what her intentions were. New poetry by Iranians around the world. It's published by North Atlantic Books. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.